Hi, welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
This is a day, Lord, in which we say, Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas, peace with Christmas. But above all, in and through Christ Jesus, peace to all mankind. The goodwill of God, the blessing of Abraham, every spiritual blessing of the heavens in Christ Jesus, all the riches of God in Christ that has been given, imparted to those who are through faith in the only Savior of the world, the Son of God Himself, Jesus Christ, Messiah. Every blessing that comes through your name be upon these people and all the internet audience, for there are many in many places. Let the presence of God move in upon them now, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may all take your seats. God bless you all, and thank you for being here once again. Wonderful to see you all. This is family time, and this is an incredible time for all of us in the house of the Lord. I need one tiny adjustment, which I remember now, otherwise your iPad switches off its display, and I don't need that off now. So we just say, don't ever put it off, and there we go. Right. Lights never go out in the house of God, you know. Amen. Amen. Even if there was no light in here, we have plenty of light in here. Amen. So in Ephesians chapter number 1, in verse number 7, it's been a very intense period of time for me. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. Fullness of time, that He might gather together. There's the purpose. In one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on the earth in Him. Galatians 4, verse 4, in similarity. I remember studying this verse at university. It was part of my studies at the time. This concept of the fullness of time. Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. When the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He bled and died to take away our sins. And it goes on, the song, Jesus Christ. Now, in this past period of time, I've been doing, everybody knows that at home anyway, a bag full of research and ever increasing in the knowledge of the truth. when we look at a world that is so devoid of answers, though they think they have answers, they have no answers. Though they think they have the solution, they have no solution. The only model by any system that exists on earth that can work and will work, has always worked, is the model of the kingdom of God, the king and his kingdom. There is only one model that works regardless of where you are. The moment you've given your life to Jesus Christ, the moment you've given your life to this Savior, the Son that has been given to us, who is the Messiah. I wanted to speak Hebrew there. Mashiach, Yeshua HaMashiach. The moment you've done that, it is only the beginning of the road. Hear me today. I was reading books, three books this week. Rabbi Zacharias on the subject of can man do without God, which they are. If you go out in society and you see what society gets up, I call it a spectacular display of stupidity. They get up to all of these things, and there is this ignorance and lack of knowledge of God. They do not know what is in this book. They do not know that this book holds us. We don't hold this book. This book holds all things together. In Him, all things are united in one, brought together in the Son of God. Now, I can go a thousand directions this morning, believe me. So I got no notes. But let me say this. Charles Spurgeon made this statement, and he said this. He said, the highest science known to mankind, the highest ginosko, knowledge known as scientific study, loftier than anything that can be named or fashioned, construed, postulated, if you will, at any university of this planet, is the knowledge of the one with whom we have to do. God the Almighty Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The highest knowledge, the highest and the loftiest science, did he say? His word, his nature, his character, his doings, what he does, his will, the knowledge of his word, the essence of his being. It is life. It is the only life. What does it help me to do? Quantum physics and study the molecules and combination of molecules and the structure of that, all that construct. What does it help me to understand the atom? And even go into quantum mechanics and understand all of that, but yet ignore the one who put that atom there. Do you know that the heavens declare the glory of God? Do you know that people keep on living as if God did not even exist? Yet we live in a world. If you go into the shopping malls, it's like a boisterous chatter, making sounds that mean nothing. It's like the cattle birds, swarms of them flying around, making a lot of sounds meaning nothing. But the moment you speak the sword of the Spirit, you release fire in your own life, in the life of your children, in your future. The moment you start looking at South Africa, through the eyes of Christ the Lord. The moment you turn to this man from Galilee called Jesus. I've been there 29 times, if not more. I would go to the places where he stood, where he preached, where he did, what he did. To understand him became one would almost call an obsession with me, to understand this Almighty God. And the more you learn, and the more you understand, and the more you accumulate knowledge. I was reminded this week, and I would certainly not consume myself in the midst of such an equation, but I would think of a man called Albert Einstein in his final days when he, 2 days before his death, is like the thinker of thinkers. And Einstein, 2 days before his death, made a statement. And he said, those who have accumulated knowledge turn out to be the most gloomy of them all. Because the more you acquire knowledge, the more you study, the more you realize how frighteningly minuscule the component of your knowledge is. The more you realize with desperation, billions of people walking in ignorance of this book, the nature, the character, the Messiah, what he does, what he says, what he wants you to know. If you love the kingdom of God, ruling your life, what it can do for you and for your children. Of many books and many study comes weariness. We know that. But the stark reality is that people seem to, in the masses of society, seem to be quite happy with suffering and battling rather than making a proper commitment to Christ. I see them die. I see them live. I walk into hospital rooms and the Lord says, this sickness is unto death. And I know that it's the end of the road and I pray a specific prayer the moment I hear the voice of the Lord come to me. I walk into hospitals and people say they're going to die. And God says, no, he's going to live. I'm going to restore him or her. It's happened to me several times in life. And I would pray another kind of prayer. Ignoring whatever it is that faces me, whether it is cancer, whether it's heart failure, whether it doesn't matter, it doesn't worry me. Car accidents, whatever it is, doesn't worry me. What I want to know is one thing, Lord, is this sickness unto death, yes or no? And then there comes the sad knowledge that people, dear people, that he died for, God sent his son, they called him Jesus. Still do not know him, neither the power of his resurrection, neither know the rule of the kingdom of God, neither know how to live. It filled their lives with an ever decreasing sensitivity of where modern media is pushing mankind towards. Oh, there are many gods out there, you know. There are all sorts of idols out there, you know. There are many things that people follow instead of Jesus. One of the books I had, I didn't have that one audio, I just had it, was this one here. Cries of the Heart of Ravi Zacharias. The cry to know God, the cry to feel my faith, the cry for a reason in suffering, the cry of a guilty conscience, the cry for freedom in pleasure, legitimate pleasure, the cry of a lonely heart, the cry of God for His people. This book was the final book in this week. And I began to realize that there are so many things that people can keep themselves busy with that are robbing them from the relationship with God. Let me get to a point here. In trying to understand the Almighty God, the dimensions, should I rather say, where He exists. The unseen realm, angels, holy angels ascending. I realized that those angels, are they with a purpose? Are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister on behalf of those who have obtained salvation? Hebrews chapter number 1, verse 14. They are there sent forth in service on behalf of those who have obtained salvation. Yes, I know about that. I've seen them around. And I've seen the fallen angels. I've seen their devastating work on the streets of the cities. And you begin to, you are not, but you do feel sometimes like a little bit of an understanding when it spoke in the Bible of the John the Baptist, where he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Let me tell you, there comes a moment in time as we know it, when this is all going to be over. That means over. Some shall depart, some shall stay behind, with only a fearful expectation of the wrath of God which is to come. We are ending the end of the ages. On the 31st of this month, New Year's Eve service, that one is explosive. But we are dealing with Betav Shinan Chet. We're dealing with, let me just leave that there. We're dealing with a time that is so critical. So it's called the year of the Messiah. It's called the end of time. In the pictographical studies, it's called the end of time. Betav Shinan Chet, the year in which we're moving into now. Okay, what I found, because there's a lot of searching, there's a lot of things going on, but what I found, if there's any revelation that stands out absolutely sovereignly to me concerning the Godhead, God sent His Son, they call Him Jesus, in the fullness of time, born of a woman, born under the law to save mankind, you and I, through faith. It's only the beginning of the road. After that, you have to consume this book. When you have this book on the inside of you, you can conduct your life according to this book or to the outside. From the inside, cut the ergazzo to work out from the inside that which you carry on the outside. Paul the Apostle says in the book of Romans chapter number 1 verse number 14, he says, for as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach. Question is, how much is in us? If there is nothing in us, we will find solution elsewhere. But here is the score, the bottom line, and this particular week was to me one of the major things I realized, the awesomeness, I have no words to you this morning. I don't even know how to express that. The awesomeness of the holiness that is found in the Holy Trinity, in God Almighty. There is a holiness about Him that mankind does not understand. And therefore, He stood in the midst of them and he said, a greater one is here, greater than the temple, greater than Solomon, greater than. They looked at Him and they did not understand that single solitary word They had a revelation on the Mount of Transfiguration where his whole countenance became shining as bright as the sun. In fact, more brightly than the sun. And he stood there and they heard a voice that said, "This is my beloved son. Follow him. Hear him." There is a holiness. There is a purity that is almost scary. When you consider that carefully, when you study and you read these things, you realize God is holy. My strategies are not going to cut it. My religiosity won't crack it. My traditions won't do it either. Me changing to become conformed as unto Him, walking a life in purity, in holiness, integrity, in truth, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit in relationship with God. That if I can, that I may know Him, becoming intimately acquainted with Him. He is the life. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Verily I say unto you, that the hour comes that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God." Listen, the graves will be emptied. I stood at my father's grave and I said, "This grave is not going to keep him here." I personally led him to the Lord and my mother. I said, This grave cannot keep him down there. Yeshua. If I can get an understanding of His holiness properly. His holiness is not a church personality. Somebody came to me in Italy and kissed my finger. And a whole bunch of people just kissed my ring, my finger. Just a wedding ring. Took my ring and took my hand. And there were a bunch of people sitting around the table. That's Italy, you know. No, I'm not the Pope. No, I'm not His Holiness. I'm only a servant. That's all I am. I'm not even a hot shot. I'm just a small shot. That's what I am. Nothing else. And I try my best to follow this book. When people run into problems, I watch them. I mean, I just keep quiet. I just silence up. I watch them. Here's a problem. Say nothing about it. Nothing about it. Pastor Harold, here's the problem. Are you listening to me, young man? I'm experiencing, for example, a pain in the knee. But you know, I know today that the punishment of my peace over here, and in fact in my entire being, the punishment of my peace was upon Jesus. And by His stripes, I am healed. This is a lie. Devil, you're a liar. Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, no, we've got to find a solution to this one just now, just quickly now, just first. Maybe there's a new medicine on the market. Maybe there's something else. Maybe a big injection. With a V8 exhaust pipe. And I'm going to be all right tomorrow. Oh, yes. Happiness is. I walk into a hospital. Somebody says, "You are a man of God. Please, come pray for me." And I know. If we agree in the name of Jesus Christ, it shall be done for us of our Father which is in heaven. I am feeling sick, but it's temporary. Right now, this thing is going to go. It's going to go. Because Jesus is Lord of cancer also. Amen. I don't have much in the house. I'm like a little widow with a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. But I have no shortage. For my God, this man from Galilee, sealed a covenant between me and him forever. This man will provide in all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This man from Galilee. I've got to face the truth. Maybe I should just throw this in. This is just like, don't tell anybody I told you about this. Just a bonus. But you know, you've got to face the truth sometime in your life. You have to face the truth sometime, because there comes a day in all of our lives when the world and its light goes away. The television and the media sends polluted light into the souls of men to capture them in their mindset and to take them into a reality that does not exist. The world is looking for an ever-increasing number of supermen that could come and save them. Superman, the first one, he died. Christopher Reeve. Batman, the Dark Knight. I'm afraid he cannot save nothing. The Here weet 'n paar duivels moet spot. Spider-Man climbs up the walls. Children put their... How about Father Christmas is the reason for Christmas? Oh, you haven't heard of the incredible junk. I mean the incredible Hulk. What's he? And Thor, that's got a hammer. Nobody can pick it up. My friend Dr. Neighbor says you can be ugly and do something about it, but stupid is forever. What you take into your mind, you harbor in your soul. What you harbor in your soul is what will come out tomorrow. When you get into the place where you're needing God, you need to know this. And I'm saying it. I am saying it. The most neglected book of all of the ages still around. You can't stop it. You won't break the power of the word that's in here. You cannot negate it. You cannot deny it. This is the word of truth. You got to face the truth sometime. It's a man called Jacob. He had to face the truth. We all have to face the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. You got to face the truth. Thing is, what are you going to do with Jesus? Yeshua. Avenu. Shema Shemai. Hit Kadesh. Shimha. Jacob went to his father Isaac, clothed himself up, used the pseudonym called Esau, who despised his birthright. Isaac was rather blind at the time, walked into the room. He was all dressed up, he had the right food. Everything was there. And his mother had helped him. He presents himself to his father, and his father says, who are you? I hear the voice of Jacob, but the smell is like the smell of the field. It's the smell of my son Esau. Who are you? He said, Esau, pseudonym. that in French means a false name. Who are you? He caught the blessing. His name Jacob actually means somebody who's underhanded, a onderkruiper. Years would go by, but he would have another meeting with God out there at the Jabbok River there in a place called Pniel, which means face to face. Pniel, I see the Lord face to face. Struggled with God, struggled with man, and prevailed. Oh, yes. And he struggles in the night. He finds himself alone at the brook Jabbok. On the other side of the Jordan, ere he entered the promised land. He had all the promises. This was the dispensation of promises where God pronounced certain things concerning the Holy Land. Yes, the Holy Land belongs to Israel. But before he came into that place, now he told the lie back there. He said, I'm Esau. Got away with it. Now the angel of the Lord is saying to him, what is your name? Moment of truth, right? Would you be able to tell the angel of the Lord a lie and not die? What's your name? Okay, the truth. I've been with under a pseudonym, truth. I am Jacob. I am one who is, the Afrikaans is very good at onderkruiper. I've done things under the table. I took that birthright by deception. I got the blessing like that. What is your name? My name is Jacob. And that's the truth. Okay. You shall no longer be called Yaakov, Jacob, but you shall be called Israel. For you have struggled with God, and you have struggled with man, and you have prevailed. The truth prevails. Jesus is the way, the truth. Let me say this to the people on the internet. I don't care which country you're from. If you're in Saudi Arabia, if you're in China, if you wherever they say don't watch the TV, don't look at Christianity, let me tell you something now. There is no other way, no other name given under heaven by which a man can be saved. No other name. No religious system that gives you a moral, an ethical, and an upright, straight and narrow way of conduct, that you may be blessed, that you may serve the Lord in faithfulness, that you may pray and get answers to your prayers, that you may speak the word. It's a flame. It's like a lightning bolt. It pierces the darkness. It breaks the power of Satan over your family. That you may take up the fullness of the sword of the Spirit. I said to you this morning, what's your name? What is your name? You are a Christian, which means you are part of the gathering together into one Jesus Christ, our Lord, of the community of the Lord, our God. If somebody says to you, Jacques, what is your name? I am a Christian, a Christian called Jacques. We can get into the analysis of the name also. What is your name? What is your name? Are we living a double life? Are we living something else? This day marks a family day. This day marks a gathering together also. The only gathering together you can get is in gathering in Christ Jesus. The only oneness is in Christ Jesus. The only rule of conduct that by I drive my life by this book. And it's not enough because I know not enough. I'm still trying to. And I sometimes think that I know too little. And then I get very worried about people in general that I hear when they get into trouble. The things they say, the idle chatter of things they say, idle words over their own lives, over their children, over their families, and criticism and judgment, everything else. Thou shalt not judge, for the same measure by which you judge, you will be judged. But as we gather in the knowledge of the word of the Lord, we gather in understanding. As we gather in the knowledge of the Lord, we gather in an understanding how to conduct our lives. Dear friends, as we close the service, I want to say to you this day, live the way, live the truth, live the life in Christ Jesus. He came to plant the cross. The first thing is relationship with the Almighty God. And the second thing, the two arms, is embracing all mankind, loving you. Jesus Christ, Son of God, was given to the world. We celebrate him today. We love the love that he's poured out in our hearts. Romans 5 verse 5. We also know today that if it wasn't for Jesus, you and I would be without hope. But I know today that the Lord will bless you richly, and the Lord will be with you wherever you go, as long as you do not forsake him. Do not drift around. Do not be distracted by the things of the world. Focus on Jesus. It will be well with you more than just this Christmas day. Would you stand and give the Lord a praise offering? Come on, give the Lord a good praise offering here. Be assured of our love towards you and our constant prayer. We shall pray always. We believe the Lord for the best for your lives always. May God use this as a family day for you to win new friends, to gain people, to touch their lives. Remember, the testimony of Jesus Christ upon your lips means life to your neighbor. Speak the word of God when in trouble. Pray the word of God when seeking answers. What is the cry of your heart today? I pray that God give you that as a special gift. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you and be gracious to you. The Lord grant you salvation and eternal peace. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, have a God-blessed Christmas day. Amen and amen.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.